Now, have you ever wanted to showcase the unique and wonderful community in which you live to give people outside a taste of what it's like to live inside your suburb, your town, your village, and also showcase some of the residents who live in it? Well, that's what our next guest decided to do. A few years ago, Jo Wallace decided she'd use social media to start a blog called Humans of Newtown. Now, it's much like the photography project that started in New York in 2010, Humans of New York. And in the same way as the Big Apples project, Jo photographs residents of Newtown and tells their stories. I first came across Jo on Instagram and have never actually met her in person until tonight. Jo Wallace, welcome to Evenings. It's great to
Thanks,
have you
Chris.
In here.
Yeah, it's lovely to be here.
You know, when I first started looking at Humans of Newtown, I didn't know that the New York page existed. So I thought, when I first saw it, what a wonderful idea, what a great sense of community, what a fantastic way to showcase the people that live in your suburb and learn more about the suburb as well. And sometimes you take such beautiful photographs of their faces.
Thank you.
You can read their life in their face sometimes. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, I actually came up with the idea prior to it. Similar to yourself, prior to actually finding out about Humans of New York. And I'd had the idea for such a long time, really actually wanted to do a book. And I work in communications and never really even thought about doing social media. Went to go to New York and, you know, when you kind of start looking at different sites before you go, and came across Humans of New York. And I went, hang on a sec, that's exactly what I want to do. So I just thought, oh, well, I'll set it up online. Just at least that'll get me going. I'll start some stories and photographs, and it was really just a repository for content, and I thought a couple of my mates might like it out of sympathy for me, and then it just kind of took off from there. It did turn into a book eventually, which was fabulous, but interestingly enough, the blog kind of took a shape of its own, and that kind of created a very different book to probably what I initially set out to do.
Why did you decide you wanted to do something like that? What was the thought process behind it?
I grew up in I guess on the Northern Beaches, and I've lived overseas. I've lived in Japan and travelled a lot through Asia and settled down in Newtown. And I just found it just such an amazing place. And I think the people are really what makes it. And every time you walk out in the street, there's something different going on. So there's certainly no shortage of, you know, wonderful people to photograph and interview.
Are people resistant? How does the process work? Do you just walk up to a stranger?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so look, I think, you know, most people are pretty open. I've not had many people say no, maybe one or two in the however many years I've been doing it. You know, you just get to read people. I think I've become pretty good at reading people and kind of just, you know, kind of judging who would be open to it and who wouldn't. And I certainly wouldn't go up to someone if they're in the middle of an argument, or if they're, you know, hurrying on their way to work, or if they're in the middle of eating. So, you know, just kind of looking at what they're doing, reading their body language to see if they're approachable.
And what do you do first? Do you take their photograph and then listen to their story, or listen to their story first and then take their photograph?
Whatever. So whatever works with that person. Sometimes we end up talking for an hour and then I get around to taking the photograph, but quite often I might start with a photo, have a bit of a chat, and then decide that the photo that I've taken possibly won't suit the chat, and then I'll go back and take more photos once I know them better. And I always go through their story and I listen to it very carefully. Like I ask them questions based on their responses, but I actually find when I go back and listen to the interview that there is so much more that I've missed in that conversation, because I'm constantly listening for cues for the next part of the story. And as a result, I'll then go and look at the photos and find something that matches up to those words. So I don't think it would work if you had kind of two different people doing that. It's nice to pull those two things together to complement each other.
So how much experience have you had at taking photos of people and interviewing them?
I've been doing photography for a long time. I'm not a professional photographer. I'm not formally trained in photography. I've got a bit of a journalism background and worked in communications for, it'd be coming up to close to 20 years, but I think I've been nosy for a long, long time.
So you're nosy, but have you done the people in your street? Have you been Gladys Kravitz of your street and gone up to people?
Yeah, I just love people. I just, you know, I think everyone's got a bit of a story, and once you start having a bit of a chat and really listening to people, people like to open up. People like to share their story. It's fantastic.
How do you pick your subjects?
I don't know. I just look at them and just, you know, if someone looks interesting, you know, it doesn't have to mean that they're, you know, they've got coloured hair or wearing a crazy outfit. I've, you know, interviewed older people that are a lot quieter. So just anyone who looks approachable. And, you know, as I say, everyone does have a story. So it's not like they have to look like they've got something to say. It's just being approachable and having a bit of a chat with them.
We're speaking to Jo Wallace, the creator of Humans of Newtown, which is this wonderful social media site where you can find out more about Newtown and the people who live in it. Have you been surprised by how honest people will be with you, total strangers, telling
extremely
you, pouring their hearts
surprised,
out?
Extremely surprised, particularly when I first started. I think it was in about the first 2 weeks. I remember one guy within 5 minutes actually crying to me, and I don't think I ever knew his name at that point, and sharing one of his deepest, you know, most challenging moments of his life. And what I think that is about is that we often don't stop and listen to people. We might walk past and say, hey, how are you going? And then just keep chatting, and you don't really listen to the person's response. So I think when someone sits down and actually really wants to listen, that people really start to divulge, you know, lots of deep and meaningful things. It's great.
Have you had any response from residents in Newtown, from people in the community?
In terms of,
well, when they see the page, like, what do they think of it?
Most people really like it, actually. That's been an interesting part of it as well. So it's been, I guess, a social kind of snapshot in time, which people have commented on. But a lot of people have come up to me and said, oh, you know, hey, I walk past this woman and I've seen her every day on my way to work, and we never say hello, but now I know a little bit about her. I go up and have a chat to her, and I've had neighbours actually invite their neighbour over who may have featured on my blog, and it just gives them an opening. So to me, it's the irony that social media can actually stop and make people talk to each other, you know.
Yeah, it can be a positive thing. It's not
thing.
All about trolling.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening to this and they wanted to do something like this in their community, in their town, in their village, broadcasting right across New South Wales and the ACT, is it hard to set up? How do they go about it?
Well, you know, social media is not hard to set up because most people have their own profile. But I think, you know, just get out and about. For me, it's just been such a fabulous way to meet so many more people in the community. So even if you didn't actually write up the stories or do anything with it, I just think get out there and talk to people.
How much time does it take?
Well, sometimes I'll maybe do 5 stories a week. Sometimes I won't do one for a month. So I just do it as I can fit it in with my own time.
Be it 3 kids and a job.
Yes.
So you already sound like you're a busy woman.
Yeah, I just take my camera everywhere and, you know, shoot as I go.
Part of me following you on Instagram was being really shocked, because there was one point where you put up a post saying, listen, I'm just going to have a break for a while because I'm having cancer treatment.
Yes.
And I know one of your other great passions is trying to improve cancer education for kids under 12 so that they understand it. Tell us a little bit about your story and why you're passionate about that.
So back in September 2015, so it was just after I launched the book. So I'd been doing the blog for a while, and then a publisher approached me to do the book. We did a big launch. Everything was great, and I suddenly ended up in hospital. Long story short, over many months of kind of surgery and diagnosis and all the rest of it, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer, which, as you can imagine, came as a complete and utter shock. I have 3 children, aged 17, 13 and 7, and there's fabulous resources for kids 12 and up, and I very quickly found out there's actually nothing for kids under 12 whose parents have cancer. There's support for children who have cancer themselves, but not for those whose parents have cancer. And I don't understand it. I just don't understand when teenagers tend to turn to their friends anyway for support, they're less likely to go to their parents. Why, when under 12, their parents are their everything, and, you know, suddenly they're struck by illness.
So when you say support, do you mean, you know, ways of educating young children about cancer, about what it means, about what their parents are going through?
Education and support, there's just nothing. I'm very fortunate. I go to Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, that's my hospital, and they have a great counselling service there, which, you know, the children can access. But no, education was just not there. There's a couple of books online, but I have to say they're pretty ordinary.
How anxious were your kids?
you know, of course, they're naturally worried. You know, I've lost a couple of friends to cancer, so that's the first thing they think of. They equate it to dying, and I actually said to them, well, if you think about all the people we know that have survived cancer, there's a lot more than have died from cancer. So I've always tried to be positive about it. I felt very positive from the beginning, and that's all you can do. So you've got to take some of that anxiety from them while you're going through the anxiety component yourself.
Mm. So you actually, though, managed to do something with your youngest son's school, Charlie, youngest son.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about that, because you just thought, you know, it's not enough that you're doing all of these things, but you're going to improve cancer education for children under 12 too.
Absolutely. So I guess I was very lucky that Charlie had an amazing teacher that year, and it was the beginning of the year, so I started chemotherapy in the January of 2016. When Charlie started school, I approached his teacher and said, hey, you know, this is what I'm going through. I really, you know, just want to let you know that if you see Charlie walking around upset or if he's acting out, don't hide it from me. Please come and talk to me about it. If need be, I'm happy to come into the classroom. I'm happy to talk about it very openly. So one thing kind of led to another, and his teacher was amazing and offered to do a whole unit of work on it. And then I invited my oncologist in as well, and the three of us actually worked together to really pull together like a whole unit of work on it.
And so this is Charlie's whole class?
This is Charlie's whole class, but we could not have done that without the support of the families and the community. So we could have had some families say, actually, no, I don't believe my child should learn about cancer at this point in time. They're too young for it.
It's too confronting for
them. Yeah, it's too confronting. But we had 100% support, which was fantastic. We probably would have worked around it if there were one or two parents and that didn't want their child to be confronted with that. But yeah, the community support was fantastic and it just grew into so much more. We visited the hospital. The kids felt really positive about it. They were talking about cancer. They were actually building chemotherapy machines out of Lego that destroyed cancer cells without destroying the good cells. So we had some little budding scientists and doctors coming out of that as well, which was great.
What was the reaction of the doctors? Had they seen anything like that before?
Not really. I don't think so. It's not, as far as I'm aware, it's not been done in Australia like that. My doctor had worked in the States and he mentioned that there are some programs over there. He kind of said to me, look, you know, are you sure there's nothing here in Australia? And I said, no, there's not. I have been everywhere. I've spoken to Canteen, I've spoken to Camp Quality, I've spoken to so many places and everyone kind of scratched their head and said, yeah, you're right. It's, you know,
it's the number one killer of Australians. You'd think we'd have something.
Yeah, for kids. And we should be opening that conversation. And to me, it wasn't just about opening the conversation about cancer. It's about opening conversation about anything that's confronting. Mm. You know, it's how you approach it with kids. It's not hiding it from them.
And how's your recovery going?
9 months in remission so far. So, yeah, that's great.
That's great to hear. And the kids are okay? They're positive?
Yeah, they're really positive. They're great. Thank you.
Jo, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks,
it's been
Chris.
Great talking to you.
You too.
And wish you all the best with that remission. Long may it stay.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. That's Jo Wallace, the creator of Humans of Newtown. Wonderful blog. Get online and have a look at it. It's terrific stuff.